You know, it's really good to see that even though right now they're asking us to take a little precaution in distancing from one another, that it doesn't change the desire we have to interact as the church, which is good. I had this up here, come on in and be still before God, and I think because of our desire to want to engage with one another, that was probably hard to do. But I'm going to ask you right now that we do that. And that we spend some time right now focusing on just who God is and focusing on what he wants us to be thinking about. Because we are in a little testing time. And it really tests what our values are. And what's inside of us is going to come out. And our human nature has a tendency to look at things going along, especially when they're moving quickly or when they're intense. And we as human beings, when we read the Bible, we do realize that it is easy for us to distract our minds off of who God is and what we should make sure we're always thinking about into what's happening around us. And we want to respond to what's happening around us because we are very, very aware of what God is doing in us and through us. So I've got this this verse, and we're going to sing a couple of songs here, and I really want us to worship while we're doing it, and I want us to focus on who God is and on his unfailing love, and just let all the other thoughts that are going on in your mind at this time, let them go, and let's take a few minutes. And just like we always do and we always try to do, let's think about who God is as we sing about who God is. Let's think about how he feels about us and how we feel about him. And let's get the one thing that we need to make sure is in our hearts and minds is in it. So I'm going to ask you, as you worship here today, more than any other time, make this a complete sacrifice of your attention and praise and focus on God, as Alan leads us. Let me just pray. Father, we are so grateful that you love us. We don't want to forget that you see us. We don't want to forget that we're in your hands. We don't want to forget that you are our Father and we are your children and that everything that happens in our life, you are overseeing. And there's purpose and opportunity for us to reflect your heart, to honor you. And there are all kinds of opportunities around us. And we don't want to forget who we are. We are your children who are saved by grace, who have been given unbelievable forgiveness and mercy. And not only that, but you've given us faith. You've given us gifts, talents, opportunity. You have a plan for our life that is beyond our comprehension. And because it's beyond our comprehension, it's easy for us not to see what you have in front of us right now at this moment. But you are always working. And so just like Jesus, we want to be working too. We want to be working for good. We want to be producing love. We want to be a reflection to this world of what salvation is, of what joy and peace and love found in you is. So help us, Lord, to right now become aware more than we've ever been of who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wanted us to just take a few minutes and think about what God would want us thinking about right now. And first thing is, we've got the coronavirus here. We don't want to panic, but how many of you have been to the grocery store? How many of you tried to get some toilet paper? We've got people who are exhibiting the human heart. And what it made me think about when I went into the grocery store is it made me think about the predictions of what's going to happen in the book of Revelation, we've got a plague or a pandemic that's this year. We've got a disease that's coming through that really no one knows what's going to be like. It could be bad. It could not be bad. No one knows. So there's a lot of unknown out there. And human nature wants to protect itself, and it starts thinking about what it's going to do. So you have people who run out and buy all the toilet paper that's there, not worried about their neighbor or anything like that, not thinking, will there be toilet paper tomorrow or will there not be? They don't know. And so human nature wants to grab and protect itself. What do you think it's going to be like in the last days when a third of the people in the world die in a plague? You think people are panicked now? When a third of the people die from a disease, it's going to be more than toilet paper that's revealed that's in the human heart. And we want to recognize that we're human beings. You know, we are human beings. We have those tendencies to think about ourselves also. But we're also children of God, and we have to remember who God says we are, who God says He is, and what God says the purpose for our lives are. You know, we had somebody who came up to me, and they said, I don't use much toilet paper, and I've got an extra roll that I'm not going to use. If anybody got caught without, you know, they went to the store and there was none there, and you're running out, you know, they put some right here so you could grab it. That's how we should think. You know, that's different from the world. When you have people who are running in and saying, let me make sure I've got enough. I heard one thing. This was kind of funny. There was somebody who was trying to get in real quick and order from Amazon to get 48 rolls of toilet paper. But they mistakenly clicked 48 cases. And it was delivered yesterday. So they got plenty of toilet paper. but you know, whenever we're thinking about ourselves and we're not thinking of what God would have us do or how God would have us represented, we get caught like that. We get caught with thousands of rolls of toilet paper that we don't really need anymore, that we had to pay for, that we weren't expecting paying for. And so we want to look and just say, you know, we want to keep things in perspective of who God is. My wife said this yesterday, so I wrote it down because she's a great theologian. But we were having a discussion, and she said, you know, if people were this concerned about the sin in their lives, we would be experiencing an enormous revival. And all revival means is that we're awakened. Revival means that I wake up and I realize who God is and I realize what He wants for my life and I realize the distance in which I'm separated and I take steps to remove that. Which in some respects is a little bit of what's happening here. There's a little awakening that there might be a danger out there. We don't know what it is, but there's a danger out there. And so people are looking to take steps to remove themselves from the negative consequences of that danger. Well, let me tell you something. Being separated from God, that is an enormous danger that most people are not aware of. We're not aware of our sin. We seem to minimize it. We seem to justify it. The human heart is deceitful above all things. We think that our sin is not really robbing us of that much. But if we really stop and think about it, what we came in here at first to do is the one thing that Jesus says is necessary, that we sit at His feet. That we realize who He is and that we need His wisdom and that we need to live following Him. And all kinds of things in our life push and distract us to making choices to separate ourselves from that one needful thing of being still before God to be able to obtain all the blessings we think that we need. And that's really what sin is. And we need to be aware of it. If everyone in this country was as aware of the things in their life that were separating them from a dynamic, joyful, fear-reducing relationship and awareness of God in their life, and they were fighting to keep the presence of God in their life, we would be living in a different world. It would be like what heaven's going to be like. And so we want to put those things into perspective. I've got a verse in Psalms 91 that I want to look at real quickly, and then we're just going to pray. But this is the kind of thing that God wants us to be thinking of. You know, we're in a world that sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. When you think about David running from Saul and not knowing if he's going to get caught and running from cave to cave and not knowing if they're going to have enough food and all the things that are happening there and twice being presented with an opportunity to do something that really is not right but would end, give him a solution to his problem in killing Saul, but because of his closeness with the Lord, he didn't do that. And he remained faithful during those years, and God built his character. It built a respect for him. It enabled him to be some of the person that he wants. But during all that time where he's not sure what's going to happen next, where do I go, what to do, which is right where we're at. How should we respond to this? How should we react? We're going to have to play it by ear. You know, we want to cooperate with the best things that are happening to protect people. But we want to keep this same thing in mind that David did. And he writes this. He says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." In other words, the thing that Jesus says, this is the one needful thing. David knew that was the one needful thing. He didn't sit around having all discussions about what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. And then he really didn't have time to pray or to seek God. "But who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I got this picture because I saw it on the internet, and I just thought, this is just a perfect picture of what the Christian life is about, talking about this. You've got this, is that a swan or a duck? What would you call that? Swan? You got this swan, and he's got those little swanettes. Are they ducklings or swanettes? Okay, whatever they are. The little baby swans, you know, they're riding in there. And I love this picture because he's got his neck bent around because the swan is making sure that every one of the little swans is in the right place and protected and going to be okay. And God's eye is always on us. We're the apple of God's eye. We may think God's not looking at us, but God knows exactly where we are. We're his children. We may not see God working. We may not know that God is here, but God is always here with us. He will never abandon us. And whether we are really spiritually mature and we can be like David at his best and face Goliath, or whether we're maybe at a lower point, God is still with us and God is still taking care of us because of who he is, not who we are. And God is looking at us, and if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we're going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. God's overshadowing us, whether, you know, anyway. God is with us anyway. But we may or may not be aware of it, depending upon the time and the focus that we put on him. "I will say of the Lord." Now, this is David talking to himself. Because he knows he needs to say this. He's running. Things aren't working out. Life is tough. He doesn't see an end to it. He's not sure what's going on, but he knows this. "When I bowed my head to pray, and I said, 'God, are you here?' I felt the Lord tell me yes. When I bowed my head and I prayed and I said, 'Are you going to take care of this?' I have that assurance from God saying yes. So I don't fear." That's how we should pray. That's what I experienced in prayer last night. You know, we can hear the news, we can hear this or that, but irregardless of this, I know this. Nothing's entering my life that is not God's will. If God wants to take me, I'm ready to go. I know God is working for good. If God doesn't want to take me, I don't need to be afraid of what's happening here. It made me think back last night as I was praying about those 4 years that I spent as my heart condition was developing and they couldn't diagnose for whatever reason. They could not figure out what was going wrong. I thought about the time that I sat in there speaking with Sean and Tracy, and they said, "Are you okay?" And I said, I'm fine. And they said, you need to go to the doctor. And I said, well, I got an appointment Thursday. They said, no, you need to go right now. Do you remember that? And I remember going to the doctor and running the test. Hey, I went to the doctor. I took the medicine they gave me. You know, I'm not going, no, God's going to take care of me, you know, and tempt the Lord. The things that he put in front of me to do, I did. But it didn't solve the problem. And I can remember for 2 years laying down and going to bed and feeling like my heart was like this big all the time. But when I laid down at night, I felt like it was going to explode. So every night when I laid down to bed, I thought, I don't think I'll make it through the night. And I can remember I wasn't afraid, and I wasn't telling my wife, and I was just grateful for the life God had given me. And I knew that if I passed away, God was going to take care of my kids. I don't know if they're ready or not, but I know this. God's not going to take me out of their lives till they are. And when I went to that hospital and I spent those 12 days there, and when people would come in to visit, and I could talk for a few minutes, and I just couldn't stay awake from the energy, and my heartbeat was 17 beats a minute. And I got pneumonia. That's not a good sign when your heart's beating 17 beats a minute and you've got pneumonia and you're in the hospital for 12 days. That's not a good sign. But for some reason, I was never afraid. I still meet with the doctor, the heart doctor who was in there, because for some reason he saw the presence of God in that. And the power of God in that. And he realized, this is not how most people who are in the hospital are thinking. But let me tell you, it's exactly how David's thinking. It's exactly how God wants every child of his to be able to think. To know, not to hope. Not to pray in a panic. But to be able to pray without being in a panic. Because we know that we are in God's hands. And when we pray, and we ask God to reveal himself to us, we feel it. I mean, we can't see him like I see Tim. But in our hearts, he assures us. He is with us. That is the inheritance we have through Jesus Christ. And that is something that we seek and we develop because we are still before God and we get to know him. Times like this reveal to us where we're at. And just like in the coronavirus where it's here and we don't know what's going to happen, but we could get infected or our loved ones could get infected or whatever. So what do? We become aware and we start taking precautions. We start doing the things that they say we should do every flu season, right? But we don't do it during flu season because we're not afraid during flu season. Normally, now they've got us afraid. And so we're taking those steps. It doesn't mean we shouldn't take the steps, but it means this. We need to be aware of the things that are potentially harmful in our lives. We have things in our lives that separate us from God. We have things in our lives that are taking the place of Christ. We have things in our lives that are keeping us from sitting at his feet. And those things are things that we need to remove. And so David says this, I will say of the Lord. And it's interesting when you go through the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, how aware they are that God is almighty, that God is the Lord, that God is in charge, that God is the authority, that God is really deciding everything that happens in our lives. But I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. David says that over and over to himself. He says, look, I'll look and see what I need to do. I know I've got an army chasing me. I can't just start a campfire in the middle of the valley. I better get in a cave. But I'm going to remind myself, I'm going to do the best I can, but I know this, that God is in control and God has promised me I will be king. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know he's going to see me through. I can rest and sleep at night because I trust in God. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That's probably referring to Saul chasing him. And from the perilous pestilence. That's an interesting thing for him to throw in there, isn't it? And he shall cover you with his feathers. and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and blocker and buckler. I put this picture in here because, you know, a lot of times we think of God like the first picture. We're scared, we get underneath his feathers, God's checking on us and we're there, and we just stay there. But that's really not what happens. God is always working. God is always moving, and he's taking us with us. God does not have us, he does not have a plan for our lives that includes hiding and waiting and being paralyzed. God always has things for us to do. And so once everyone's safe and secure and at rest and unafraid, then the swan takes off and starts moving where they need to be. That's a good example of where we need to be. I mean, we look around this room right now, and we know how important the connections of the Holy Spirit with each person in the body of Christ is. We know that every person is important, and not only does that person need input or they cannot sustain the spiritual life that God wants them to have, but we need input from them. And there's all kinds. When I was in the hospital, I couldn't go around and meet with people. And I had some people meet with me, but you guys called and said, hey, he's too tired, don't come. So I had a lot of connections that were broken. That doesn't mean I don't need to be connected. We have people, because of their situation right now, they're high risk or for whatever, or they have people living with them at high risk or whatever. They're not in here right now. That doesn't mean they don't need to be connected. And we need to be aware. We have people in our small group. We have people that need a phone call. We have people that need to be checked on to say, hey, have you got everything you need? Do you need some toilet paper? Do you need somebody to come get you some? We need to be thinking about what God wants us to do, not be afraid of what might happen. Doesn't mean we're unaware of what might happen. David still had to post sentries. But David knew that he needed to be moving and he needed to be doing the things that God wanted him to do. And that's what we need to be doing too. We need to realize that God is going to take care of us. We do not need to fear. It's interesting that this happened right after we did the Sermon on the Mount on worry, isn't it? And Jesus says, what about worry? Do not worry. Do not worry. Well, you can't do that if you're not in the Spirit. Because if you're in the flesh, you're going to worry. We all know that. Human beings worry. Human beings think of themselves in crisis. But God is telling us that we need to really see who he is and understand that he's going to take care of us, and he's still working, and there are opportunities for us everywhere we look. David says this, you shall not be afraid. If you do like I do, if you dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, if you take that time to see who God is and you say, Lord, you're my refuge. You're the one I'm counting on. What do I do to follow you? Then you won't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. We don't get paralyzed by fear. We don't not think about what God wants us to do because we're so worried about what's going to happen. But we realize in everything that happens, there are opportunities and God is at work. There are opportunities for us to show the heart of Christ. There are opportunities for us to do the things God wants us to do. There are opportunities for us to demonstrate our faith. You know, what will happen if the worst case scenarios happen here? You know what will happen? Real Christians will go minister to the sick. People like Mother Teresa will go work with the lepers. We're not going to just say, people are sick, let them die, we've got to get away and protect ourselves. The world will. But we know, hopefully, we'll take measures and that won't happen. But if that does happen, we won't let our neighbors die if we can help them. We'll take them food even if it's a little risk. It's what we'll do. It's what Christians throughout history have done. And God will sustain us. I love this psalm. This is a good psalm to pray. It's the 23rd psalm. We all know it. In times of struggle, God makes us lie down in green pastures. It's something that feeds our soul. You know, our real daily bread is knowing Christ and being aware of God and being strengthened by his love. And God, even in times like this, can help us to see and to value the things that are really important. And it makes us stronger, better people and representatives of him. He leads me beside the still waters. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is going to lead you into turmoil, into fear, into all kinds of frustration. That's not where God leads us. God leads us to be people who have peace during the storm because we know God is in control of our lives. He restores our soul. Why does he have to do that? Because we are human beings. We are human beings. And when we hear bad news, you know, we process it with a human mind. And how many of you do not sometimes need God to restore your soul? Do not need for God to refresh your spirit. Do not need for God to help you refocus a little bit and remember what's happening. And I love this part. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God has put his name on each one of us. And all of the pressures of life are opportunities for us to choose to walk with the heart God wants us to walk with, and that is where he does his most work. That is where he is exposed as powerful in our lives. And so in the midst of these things, those little phone calls you make, checking to see if someone needs some food, bringing them something, whatever those things mean a lot to you when you're on the other side. Some of you have been in places where you needed some help or went to the hospital and somebody did a little something. You know how much that means. I've been to people who had funerals and they said, you know, I never really realized how important it was to show up at a visitation until it was my mother who died. And then I realized how valuable it was to know someone cared enough to come. Those things are important. And they're for his name's sake because God is glorified when his heart is shown in us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That is the big question. Is your personal relationship with Christ at the place that when you bow to pray, you know God is with you? Or are you praying that you hope God is with you? And I will tell you, if you're at the place, because I've been there, and all of us grow and develop our relationship with God. If you're in the place where you feel like, I don't know where God is, and I feel all alone, I feel like, has he abandoned me or whatever? The answer to that is the same answer that David's talking about. It's the same answer that Jesus told Martha, that Mary understood, that was not going to be taken away from her. There's gifts that God gives us that no one can take away. No one can take away your peace. No one can take away your joy. No one can take your awareness of God's love away, and no one can take that overflowing desire you have to love other people away from you. Only one person can take that away, and that is you, if you decide to be like Martha. And you're doing a million good things, but you do not have time for the one needful thing, and that is to take God's word, to stop, to slow down, and to let that word become an interactive prayer and conversation with you where you're saying, God, what are you saying to me? And you are listening. If you dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, then you will feel his protective wings around you, and you'll know that he is with you. We're going to take just kind of two little periods of prayer right here. And what I'm going to do right now is we're going to take just a few minutes and let you pray. And what I want you to pray about in this session is I want you to pray about your personal relationship with God, the things that are going on in your mind, and are the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart acceptable in God's eyes? Are there areas that you would like God right now to kind of straighten those thoughts up? Are there things that you would like God to open up your eyes to see about what God would want you to be doing right now or to say right now? So I want us to take this first part and just, I'm going to give you a few minutes just to pray and just to ask God to settle your heart where it needs to be and to make you aware of who he is and what he's doing in your life right now. And then I'm going to close this, and Sean's going to lead us in another session, and then we're going to sing together, and we're going to go home and live it out. But let's just take a few minutes right now, and I'm going to give you some quiet time just to let God speak to your heart. Our Father in heaven, Creator of this universe, the one who holds all things together, whose perfect will is done in everything, and whose will cannot be thwarted. We are so grateful for your love for us. And we realize, Lord, that more than anything in this world, the most important things in our lives all come out of that realization of what you spoke to us through Jesus Christ on that cross, that you love us with all our imperfections, in all our immaturity, with all our failures, all our weaknesses, you still see the beauty of your creation and you love us. And you want us. And through the power of that resurrection, we see the ability you have to redeem even our own lives. And we bow before you right now, humbly realizing how much you have forgiven each one of us, how merciful and full of grace you really are, and how powerful you are to turn our lives around. There is nothing in this world that matters without your love. And there is nothing in this world more amazing than your love for us. And Father, we know that more than anything else, we need to be aware that you do see us, you do love us, that you are working with us, and you're not surprised at our weaknesses, you're not surprised at our failures, you're not surprised at even the self-centeredness you're working to take out of our hearts that we don't even see. We know it's there. We know there's no one like you, including us. We're not like you. But you love us. And you are slowly transforming us and making our hearts like yours. And that's what we want. We thank you, Lord, that your love is perfect and it casts out all fear. Not some fear, but all fear. And we realize, Lord, that we are in your hands and nothing can separate us from your love. And we trust you. And whatever you bring into our lives, we know is for ultimate good for us, for you, for your kingdom, for those around us. We don't know what you're doing, but we trust you and we ask you to help us to never lose sight of who you are. We want to fix our eyes on Christ. And we want to follow him. And we want to be ready to move where he's moving. We want to be able to love how you call for the need for us to show that love. We thank you. And right now we surrender our lives to you. And we praise you because you are able.
In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Sean, why don't you come lead us in this last session?
It's just really cool to see how desperate people are to come and worship and maintain life as normal. And, you know, I've been thinking about when, I guess the first thing that really happened was the NCAA announced they were going to play games with no fans. And then quickly, NBA canceled their season and they followed suit. And it's just weird, like a world with no sports. It's just really strange, especially for those of us that like sports, and the stock market has plummeted. And I've been really marveling at just how big and powerful God is. Those kind of things in me have made me want to worship him more, because I just think about the things that we think are so important. You know, a lot of people who like college basketball love March Madness. They love doing their brackets and their challenges. And you know what, God, if God wants to allow a virus to spread throughout the world and say, you know what, your retirement account, I can take that in an instant if I want. No sports going around the world, and many of us idolize those throughout the year. It's just, to me, it has made me see the bigness and the awesomeness of God and how everything is really just in his hands. And those things just don't matter. And what matters is this: coming together to worship him, to praise him, to come together, have fellowship, and then what we do when we go out to be the light of the world. And that's, you know, I do want to say, you know, we as leaders, we covet your prayers. I mean, these last 48 to 72 hours have been challenging. I mean, Bill and I, we're human. We have flesh. We have emotion. And
we don't know what's going to happen either.
We've battled back and forth over what to do, whether to have this service or not. You know, these are not easy decisions. And I'll just tell you, those of you that just sent a quick text saying, I'm praying for you, I know you've got tough decisions to make. And whatever decision we make, someone's going to disagree. Someone is going to disagree. And I just want you to know, I mean, we, in the last 3 days, we probably spent 25 hours talking and praying for God to give us his wisdom on what to do. And just trying to follow that and be obedient in that. And so I'm just going to ask you, as these next days and weeks go forward, we haven't canceled next week yet. We don't know what this week's going to bring. We hope to be here just like today, worshiping, but we may not be. And we may be mandated by the state to not meet. And we'll follow the laws of the country as we are commanded to in Scripture. But we ask for your prayers for this church, for its leadership, for its people, for our hearts. I mean, one thing Satan wants to do is create division. He wants division between me and Bill. And
well, he won't get that.
I don't believe he'll get that, but he wants it, and he's trying to get that, and he wants division in our people. He wants some people to think we're acting in fear. He wants others to see that we're acting in love, and he wants division. He wants that. And I just want you all to know that any decision we make has been fervently prayed over and decided based on what we believe God's will is. And so we thank you for that. I have had a couple people ask me, how do I give? Which is great. How do I give? Well, we've got a box down here. We have a box in the lobby. If for some reason we don't meet for a few weeks, that may happen. You can give online. You can send a check in. You can hand deliver a check here. I'll come to your house and pick it up if you want. Whatever it takes, we do not want that to be an obstacle for you following what God has put on your heart to do. We want to open those channels for you to be able to be obedient in whatever way God is calling you to. Our phones are open day and night. If you need talk, if you need prayer, if you have questions. Men's retreat, I'm going to get more information tomorrow. So you men that are in here, we'd love to do it. Not sure what's going to happen with that. All this kind of came about so fast. They were gone yesterday, didn't answer the phone when I called. So hopefully we'll make an announcement about that tomorrow early. We'd love to do it. We were looking forward to it. So anyway, a lot of those different things are just rolling around in my brain. And I just want you to know, we desperately love you. We desperately desire to seek the Lord. And we just ask for your grace during this time because, you know, things are not easy. So as we go into this next step of prayer, what I do want you to think about as you pray is one for our church. In any way God leads, you know, its leadership, our direction, our people, our elderly folks, our protection. But really, how we reflect the light of Christ to the world around us as we go through this. I can assure you, we are not making decisions out of fear at all. 0%. And I ask that you pray for that. I ask that you pray for our community and for our country and for really the stop of this virus. But I pray that you ask God to use this, to make us vessels to be used during this time. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for him to create a revival in our country, for people to see Christ, to people to see Christians as people who want to follow him. And I'm just going to ask you to just spend a few minutes just praying through any of that, however you feel led by the Spirit, and then I'll close us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are sovereign. You are so big, so awesome, so amazing. And we trust you. We as a church and as a body of Christ trust you. We may battle in that, struggle in that, go back and forth between flesh and spirit, but ultimately our hearts trust you. And you have overcome the world, Lord. You tell us that. And we pray that you help us rest in that truth, that your Son has already achieved victory, that we are living in victory, no matter what happens, and that you have called us, Lord, to reflect that truth and reflect that light to the world around us, in our homes, here in this building, at work, at Walmart. God, you have given us your glory. Your glory lives within us. And our unity in Christ reflects that. So help us, Lord. Help us during this time. Give us wisdom. Give us guidance. Give this church a heart to reflect you. Let us know what you desire that we do as a church, as leadership, but also individually in the lives we lead outside of these four walls. God, we give our lives to you. We want to be your Son in the world around us. We pray for our country. We pray for the world. We pray, God, that you use this to wake the people up, to wake the people around this world up to the truth that they need you. They need your Son. They need a Lord, and they need a Savior. So I pray, God, we pray that you bring people to their knees before you, kneeling at the cross, crying out to you for your grace, your mercy, your love in Jesus Christ, and that you wash them clean with his blood. And we thank you for making us a part of that, giving us a mission in your Son to reconcile the world to you, to be used in that, that you make your appeal to the world through us. We thank you for that. What a gift. God, you are awesome. We love you. We want to serve you. We want this church to reflect you. So help us. Help us know your will. Help the hearts in this room do your will. Protect us from division and disunity. Just help us reflect the glory that you have put within us in answer to your Son's prayer before he died. God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for covering us in your grace and in his blood. And we pray this, Lord, in his name. Amen.